We come now in our series to deal more particular with discipline, the disciplining of the child. It's interesting that our text, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And we've been looking at that word train. It comes from a Hebrew word, and as used in Hebrew, the language of the Old Testament, it has several meanings. And I think it might help if we refresh our memory on some of those meanings. Now, the word translated can mean discipline, or it can mean correction. Both those words are filled with very vital concepts. One of our goals is to have a child that is disciplined in his behavior, or a child that has been blessed with being corrected when his behavior is wrong. And the goal being that you stop that kind of correction. If you're familiar with your Bible, you know that the words discipline or correction actually are used interchangeably in the scripture. And actually, there are three Hebrew words which can be and are translated by our English word correction. These three words actually give us a progressive understanding of what we're going to be talking about today. The first two words which we're going to consider are the two words which describe correction that any parent can carry out, saved or unsaved. Now, I want you to hear that. Give it attention, because it's very vital. The first two words that we're going to consider are words that describe correction that any parent can carry out, whether they're saved or whether they're not saved. This kind of correction is the kind of correction that results in obedience. But that's all it results in. Nothing more. It results in the child complying with rules, but nothing more. The third word that is translated correction is always associated with God as well as man. The secret of effective discipline is to be able to pattern your discipline after the manner in which God disciplines us. Please don't miss that statement. We're going to build on those statements. The secret of effective discipline is to be able to discipline after the manner that God disciplines us. No doubt you are acquainted with a number of individuals who have what we perhaps would call a tight rein on the kids. And yet, at some point, as soon as the child has the opportunity, they're out of control, disobedient, rebellious. And there are those who say, I don't understand my kids. I don't know what's wrong. I was really strict. I punished them every time they turned around for their disobedience, and I don't understand why they turned against me. Well, over the next couple of lessons, we hope to deal with that. Passages of scripture that we're going to consider will be exclusively in the Old Testament. You perhaps think, why is that? Well, here's the reason. If you examine the New Testament, there are few. Notice what I'm saying. Few by comparison. Few regulations related to the training of children. Now, this doesn't mean that the New Testament has nothing to say, no solutions, but there's more material in the Old Testament. And I would like to add, practically all of these passages of Scripture in relation to these first two words are going to be found in the book of Proverbs. And I would encourage you, please, please read the book of Proverbs over and over and over again. And if you have opportunity, get a book by Charles Bridges on his commentary on Proverbs. It's worth its weight in gold. You can get it from Christian book distributors, Amazon. You probably can get a Kindle book as well. Charles Bridges, Commentary on Proverbs. You'll find the book of Proverbs to be very, very practical in many of everyday problems. Just a lot of wisdom. Much wisdom. Turn with me to Proverbs 22 and verse 15. Proverbs 22, 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline, parentheses, correction, will remove it far from him. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? Now, look at that word, foolishness. It is a word, actually, that describes waywardness. This word foolishness is not referring to joking and humor and levity. It's waywardness. So it could be very correct to say, waywardness is bound in the heart of a child. The word of correction will remove it far from him. Well, if it means waywardness, why did the translators use the word foolishness? Because in the Old Testament, listen to me, a fool is described as a man who does not give God first place in his life. Waywardness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will remove it far from him. So, what is this? Is a very serious issue. It's not just some matter to be taken lightly. The rod of correction. The word is discipline, is used in the King James. What about that word? It's a word that comes from a Hebrew word that always describes corporal punishment. In other words, it's a reference to dealing physically with the issue. So when we speak of corporal punishment, we're speaking of bodily punishment. To be more clear, we're speaking of spanking the child. In the original language, and please hear me well here, it is what we might call a barren word. Barren word, B-A-R-R-E-N. And it does not convey the idea of love or compassion or understanding or interest. It's a detached word. It's an empty word. And what it really describes for us is the securing of obedience by the use of sheer force. I'm bigger than you are. I'm stronger than you are. And I'm going to make you mind me. Period. The fact that it is a barren word, I think, is indicated by the fact that this Hebrew word is a proper name as well as an ordinary word. And it is the name of a barren place in the wilderness. Graphic. In your imagination. And I want to emphasize this because I believe that much of the correction that many parents administer to the children is as barren as this word describes. There may be love, but the child doesn't perceive it. There may be understanding about the situation, but the child is not consciously aware of that understanding. And in many cases, it may be the love and understanding is not there. The child is corrected purely on the basis, if you do that, I'm going to spank you. Period. And the child does not understand. All he knows is fear. Because the rod is applied, if he deviates even the slightest degree from what has been set before him as rules and regulations, you're guilty, you're going to get a whooping. That's it. Again, I want to emphasize in your thinking that this word refers only to corporal punishment. In Proverbs 15, we'll turn there in a minute, there's another place where the word is used. And again, I want to impress on your minds that it is possible to secure obedience by sheer force. You can do that. But that kind of correction results in an individual who, listen, is sitting down on the outside, but on the inside standing up. That comes from the illustration of the teacher who told little Johnny, sit down, and Johnny didn't sit down. And the teacher said, sit down, Johnny, and Johnny didn't sit down. Third time, teacher says, Johnny, sit down, and Johnny just stood there in defiance, and the teacher goes over, grabs him by the shoulder, and sets him down in the chair. And little Johnny says, I may be sitting down on the outside, but on the inside I'm standing up. But you can make him sit down on the outside if you're bigger than he is. Now, Proverbs 15, verse 10. In the King James Version, Proverbs 15:10 reads, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. The New American Standard, which we use here in the church, Proverbs 15:10. Stern discipline is for him who forsakes the way. He who hates reproof will die. The word translated correction or stern discipline is a translation of this first Hebrew word that we are considering. I think that it's significant that the Holy Spirit has been pleased to use this word in connection with an individual who has, note carefully, forsaken the way. As a rule, this is the only kind of correction that people know when they apply the rod and nothing else. By that I mean they make no effort to positively train their child, as we will discuss later. All they know is the rod, and that's it. It's a child who lives under the threat constant threat of corporal punishment. Now, do you see why I say an unsaved person can administer this kind of discipline? He doesn't have to pray about it when he uses it. All he has to have is a good rod, that's all, and the strength to use it. That's it. He doesn't have to be considered about the child's interest in him or anything else. All he's concerned about is, my child does what I tell him to, and if he doesn't, he's going to get punished. There's another biblical illustration of the same kind of punishment that we're talking about. It's found in Proverbs 23:13. So please turn there. Proverbs 23:13. Proverbs 23:13. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you beat him with a rod, he will not die. And he won't. And those who depend entirely upon the rod depend also upon the fact that he won't die. Now let me inject, because I have discovered that people do not always listen well. I'm emphasizing something that if you do not listen toward the end of the message, you will go out of here and say, I'm teaching that corporal punishment is wrong. Not so. I'm just warning. Listen carefully and attentively to what we're saying. And so far, all I'm really saying is that there is a wrong use of the rod. That's what I'm saying. It will accomplish outward compliance with rules which you lay down, but it will do so only because you're inflicting physical punishment without understanding, and from which the child in question will rebel the first opportunity he has. And that rebellion is building up like a fire. This first Hebrew word that we've been considering is what we would say is the simplest word for correction used in the Bible. Anybody who's big enough to hold a stick can administer this kind of correction. The second word that we would like to consider is a Hebrew word that describes correction both with a rod coupled with the word. Or we could say, blows from a stick and blows from the tongue. So there's verbal ingredient. Have you ever heard the word tongue lashing? You know what we mean by that? Somebody worked you over good with their tongue. And oh, how deeply that can hurt. I dare say that if any of you have endured a tongue lashing, you would be willing to agree that in some instances, at least, you would rather have been beaten with a rod. Why is that? Because the blows of a rod would have only injured the body and would heal. But the tongue lashing injures your spirit. And sometimes will never heal. We can be very cruel with our tongue. I want you to put this in your notes, in your mind, in your heart, in your soul. By God's grace and help, let me beg of you, do not ever wound the spirit of your child. We'll probably say more about that later. Proverbs 29:17 says, correct your son, and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. The King James reads, correct thy son, and he shall give you rest. The word correct. This word correct is a step higher than the word that we've been talking about. Because you're at least taking time to talk with your child. And just giving him a spanking, rather than just giving him a spanking. And yet, even this is not the very best kind of correction. And I'm going to probably refer to this again and again at certain points as you deal with your child. And I'll elaborate on it more and more. But keep in mind in dealing with your child that every man is a lawyer in his own behalf. Right? Every man is a lawyer in his own behalf. And the child will be very clever at trying to prolong punishment, cry excessively. Why? So you'll let up. My mom used to say, if you don't stop that crying, I'll give you something to cry about. I was just trying to get her sympathy. Make my case. Keep those things in mind as we move along. We'll revisit this again, I'm sure. But correct your son, and he will give you rest, yea, delight to your soul. Now, if you think about this, probably if you yak at him long enough, he'll hush. And he'll quit pestering you. And if you get tired of yakking at him, use the rod. That'll keep him quiet. Or according to this verse, you will have rest. Then later it says that he will give delight to your soul. Now here again, we make it very clear. The word delight as used is not a word that speaks of happiness. It is a word that describes the idea of not being bothered. There are parents today who don't emphasize the rod too much, but they are just as cruel with their words. And in the course of years, I can testify to the fact that I have been in homes where my heart has ached when I heard the way that parents talk to their children in the way of correction. It was grieved me. I have watched shadows cross the face of their children when I have heard parents say very unwise things to their children or tongue lash them in the presence of other people. Oh yes, they accomplished what they set out to do. They corrected the child. They had, quote, peace. And we were able to continue our conversation without interruption. But there is a sense, where there's a sense of tranquility, there's no tranquility in the heart of the child. So, so very important. You see, that kind of obedience that is demanded brings about correction. But it's totally void of any understanding or feeling. An unsaved person can administer this kind of discipline. An unsaved person can use the rod and or the tongue whenever it's needed and accomplish outward compliance. But what is happening inside? The third word that is used in the Old Testament and translated correction or discipline is a Hebrew word which the Holy Spirit uses when he describes the manner in which God corrects his children. It's godly discipline. It is not related exclusively to God. It is also used in connection with parents. And if we correct our own children as God corrects his children, we will learn what real correction means. Biblical correction. Correction that has godly results in the life of your child. Now, actually, it's interesting that the passage that we will be considering illustrates what I'm talking about. The correction of the Lord is compared in Scripture with the correction of a father. And the correction of a father is compared with the correction of God. What does this tell us? Well, it does not mean that the mother should not administer discipline. It doesn't mean that. It is the mother's place to nurture, to sustain, and strengthen. But there will be also be involved, the mother will be involved in correction and discipline. And I don't really like to use too many personal illustrations, but sometimes they're the best. And I'll have to testify, my mom never said, you just wait till your father gets home. He'll give you a whooping, he'll wear you out. If he was away at work and I was misbehaving, she took care of me. Which I saw as being the way it should be. And I just believe the best approach is what we call a partnership in discipline. It's not one just taking the responsibility. Now, I think we're going to close here because we move into an Old Testament example of Zipporah, the wife of Moses. And so it's a good place for us to take up next time. But we're laying the foundation, we're laying the groundwork to build on in terms of this kid is misbehaving. What am I going to do about it? Well, you can either do it in a way that is advantageous for the child or is damaging. Let's pray. Our Father, help us to understand your truth and to apply it and understand it for the good of our families and children, that they might grow up to know you and serve you and love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.